Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Worcester is up in arms over a new charter school. In a split vote, the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education has approved the school's application over objections from the Worcester School Committee and local elected leaders. WBUR education reporter Max Larkin joins us from the newsroom to tell us more about it. Welcome back, Max.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, let's start. Just tell us about the school. What is the school that's been approved?
It's called the Worcester Cultural Academy, so it's going to be a K-4 school to start with this coming August. It'll serve up to 360 students at full capacity and run K-8. But then that's small compared to the size of the Worcester School District, about 1.5% of the size. So the goal, Tiziana, is to bring students out of the classroom and into the world of museums, parks, public art, etc., hence the name Worcester Cultural Academy. And the school will be run by an education management nonprofit based in New York and, significantly, by current and former staff of the Old Sturbridge Village Museum and Charter School.
Now, you say significantly because that's part of the source of the pushback here, right?
Indeed, yeah. You've got people concerned that this school fits a bit awkwardly and unclearly into this constellation of the Old Sturbridge Village Museum, the Old Sturbridge Village Academy, and that those ties need to be basically sorted out before we should have gone ahead with this.
So the Old Sturbridge Village, that's like a community and a museum. They already have a charter school, the Old Sturbridge Village Academy?
They do, and they've run it since 2017, about 360 students there already.
Okay, and so then they would also be partially running this new charter school.
Yeah, and you had in an annual report there, President Jim Donahue calling this an expansion of the academic educational offerings of Old Sturbridge Village. So they're not exactly hiding the tie.
Okay, and that tie, so this is where this gets interesting, right? Because now you have an institution that has a different mission, a different operating budget, different employees, but may also run a charter school that basically makes money for them.
Yeah. So I think we can go to the morning of the vote here. So you have nearly every elected official representing Worcester, mayor, superintendent, school committee, city council, the state delegation coming out and saying, we do not want this. And the reason that they do not want this is because charter schools are funded out of district budgets, out of a reimbursement. They said at full capacity, this thing will take $7 million per year to educate a pretty small contingent of students out of Worcester's educational budget, which historically has been tight. And what they pointed to was in an annual report, Donahue saying this school will be a source of, quote, reliable revenue for the museum, which feels like we're taking from the taxpayers to give ultimately to a private institution and not even one that is a school per se.
And are there proponents who say, no, this is a good thing?
Yeah, there certainly are. There wasn't a lot of organic parent presence at the final confirming vote last week, but you did have people who work for the school and the museum saying, listen, Worcester schools are among the lowest 10% in terms of the state's lowest 10% in terms of their standardized test performance. And they would say parents deserve options and this school will be a good option. It'll be experiential, project-based learning. It'll be small class sizes. You like those things, right? And so there's an argument still being had that this school represents a vital contribution to Worcester.
So I'm zooming in on what you said, Max. You said, let's go to the morning of the vote. And now you're talking about all these people who represent Worcester in various official capacities who are saying, don't do it, don't do it. And yet you have a state board of elementary and secondary education that does it anyway. So how does that happen? And what did we hear? My understanding is it was a split vote from the board.
Yeah, it was a split vote. You have to consider that this board was put together by Charlie Baker, who was, you know, avowedly in favor of charter schools. His Secretary of Education, Jim Pizer, huge fan of charter schools. And so you had a group of people on this board that still see charter schools as delivering on a promise to give rigorous education, experiments in education, kind of expanding the marketplace and giving options to parents. And then but you also have the memory of the state having voted 62% against charter schools just 7 years ago.
This is that ballot question that would have increased the cap back in 2016 and failed, right?
Precisely. And I think you hear that tension where people, you know, the big argument for opponents of that question, Deciana, was these schools take from our public schools, which have to serve all students, and lavish those funds on much smaller communities of students. And so you hear the big debate, the unmade-up mind of the state of Massachusetts on what these schools do and what they offer.
We're talking with WBUR education reporter Max Larkin about a controversy around a new charter school that's been approved for Worcester by a state board over objections from many of the officials in Worcester. So, Max, two things you said there that I want to pull out. Let's pull out the first one. This sort of serves a smaller population, right? So we're talking 360 students, roughly, when it's at full capacity at a price tag of $7 million. And my understanding is one of the concerns has been whether or not Old Sturbridge and its other charter school have demonstrated the ability to really work with students who are English language learners, which is a big percentage of Worcester students. Is that right?
Yeah, they're leading the state. There are large and growing enclaves of refugee and immigrant communities, a lot from the Near East in Worcester. They make up 30%. English learners make up 30% of the students in Worcester. That's among the top communities in the state. And you have a serious concern that this kind of, you know, Old Sturbridge Village has a lot to offer, but it hasn't traditionally been sort of this cosmopolitan center, right? It's a living museum about 19th century New England.
Right.
And yeah, you have real concern, and DESE themselves, which recommended the enactment of the grant of this charter, did note that the school didn't go as far as it might have done to show that it knows how to support that particular community of students. So with like dual language classes, you know, native language counseling, et cetera.
So this now raises a meta issue, Max, about whether or not the system that we have in place in the state, you said, you know, this is a Baker board, pro-charter board, we have a new administration. Any chance things might change?
Well, I think we hear it beginning to change. So there were four no votes. You had parent member Marianne Stewart, union member Darlene Lombos, and a student member who has a vote on the state board saying, we're not here to create financial lifeboats for museums. Eric Planky from Westford said that. But the fourth no vote came from the new Secretary of Education, Patrick Tutwiler, who was the former superintendent of the Lynn Public Schools. And I think it's worth listening to what he has to say.
I believe that all public schools, charter or district, must provide equal access to all students. Therefore, based on what is proposed, I do not believe that this community is best served by this particular school. It needs to be said that this decision, my decision, should not signal a position on future charter applications. Upon a recommendation from the commissioner, I'll weigh each application on its merits.
So as I said, Tiziana, this was a big change in sort of education ideology, governor to governor. You have in Healy someone who is maybe skeptical of the hugely important role that the MCAS plays in education, accountability determinations for school districts, much closer to the teachers' unions, et cetera. You hear Tutwiler saying, I don't think this school is equipped to serve the community we're putting it in, but at the same time, I'm not trying to be knee-jerk, ideological about those things. So if you're applying for a charter next year, don't worry about it. I'm going to look at it on the merits.
So in the last minute or so that we have, Max, what happens now? Is it just a done deal? The charter school goes forward? That's it?
Well, the state in some ways is the final arbiter of these things. And yeah, now this school is slated to open its doors in August. But Worcester, which so clearly registered its discontent, isn't done fighting. They voted the night before this state vote to refer the matter of the ties to the museum to the state inspector general, the ethics commission. So there's a goal to keep pushing and maybe block this thing or at least change its terms a little bit.
On other grounds at the state level, despite what the DESE board voted.
Precisely so.
And what will you watch for?
I think it has been, I think, 5 years since a new charter was granted. There was a sense that there was exhaustion with the issue after that 2016 contentious, really expensive campaign. And I think we're going to have to watch to see how this school settles in this super diverse community that has made it pretty clear they do not want it.
Fascinating. WBUR education reporter Max Larkin, thanks for running it down for us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.